presented by Invest in Our Land.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Thursday, March 14th. Here is what's driving the day. As the U.S. tries to prevent Israel from devastating Rafah, senior American officials told Israel that they would support a targeted campaign in the city focused on specific top Hamas targets instead of a major invasion. Our colleagues Alex Ward and Laura Seligman have that story this morning. Israeli officials say some kind of operation in Rafah is inevitable, but the U.S. doesn't see Israel readying for this kind of big war effort just yet, and the Biden administration is hoping they can influence Israel to conduct more limited counterterrorism strikes. At a political summit just yesterday, U.S. Aid Administrator Samantha Power told our colleagues that she urged Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, quote, to improve compliance with international humanitarian law. On Wednesday, the House passed a bill 352-65. I'm going to say that again because you guys haven't heard those numbers in a very long time. 352-65. That bill would force TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance to either sell TikTok or have it banned here in the United States. The fight is obviously not over. While there's a lot of bipartisanship in the House on this, in the Senate, it's a little bit more shaky. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has not yet said if he is going to bring it to the actual floor. And if you talk to a lot of senators, they're kind of waffling a little bit more than they were a few months ago. And for all of you that are very worried about a TikTok ban, even if it gets to the floor in the Senate, even if President Biden signs it, which the president and his team have said that he would, it is likely to face a lot of legal challenges. We've seen in states like Montana that have banned TikTok, but then have been sued by their own citizens, and those bans have been overturned. So even if it does become law, don't worry, the legal challenges will come very, very swiftly. TikTok itself has made that very clear. And in a story out this morning, me, my colleague Adam Kankren, and Katie O'Donnell write about how President Biden's obsession with housing is playing out as we get closer to the election and also playing out in his policy. Joining me now to discuss all of that and more is Adam Kankren. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me back.
I know. We almost didn't invite you back. I was like, again? I don't know. But then Callie, our producer, was like, you have to.
It's borderline every time. I get it.
Just fine. So my favorite thing about this story, Adam, is kind of how it came together. So you and I separately were kind of hearing from folks about the importance of housing for this administration, hearing about the importance of it for President Biden, and then also in tandem, hearing about how important it is possibly for their reelection effort. Adam, I want to back up far to like the beginning of the administration, because when we were talking to administration aides, they were basically saying, you know, we've been working on housing since the very beginning. So talk me through kind of what they've done from day one, how that's changed over time.
Housing obviously has been one of the policy areas they've worked on. But for, you know, understandable reasons, it was not a top priority for years. I mean, if you remember when Biden took office, we were in the middle of a pandemic. Pandemic response was the main thing. Then they were focused on the economic recovery. And yes, housing was part of that, but it was never center stage. You know, they were always working on how do we essentially just keep people above water? How do we deal with their everyday immediate costs? But it has not been until recently where it has really become a crisis. There's no other word for it. It's a housing crunch where you have really, really limited availability of homes for people who want to buy them. And then you have just incredibly expensive, you know, monthly payments because mortgage rates are so high. People are getting hit on both ends. And that has become a problem that I think has developed and that the administration has recognized is serious just maybe over the last 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, because, you know, we talked to a bunch of folks in the administration, but one senior aide told us that last summer, President Biden was meeting with his team and basically trying to figure out, one, what was going to be the budget, and that turns into, like, what's the State of the Union going to look like? And in those, he was telling them, I want us to talk about, and more importantly, do more on housing. And so, like you said, the kind of obsession has come because we've hit crisis mode. And what that also means is they had been in crisis mode this entire time. So is it too late? They don't have a lot of time that they're guaranteed to look to people that, hey, we are working on this issue, which largely seems like what we're seeing them do is like signaling to people, we care about this. We hear what you're saying. We have to work on this.
Yeah. I mean, this is part and parcel of the whole challenge of the second half of Biden's presidency from a domestic policy standpoint. You know, you had in the middle of 2022, 9% inflation. And every month since that has been devoted to trying to bring, trying to rein in inflation, trying to figure out what the drivers of those price increases are and address them one by one. And if you look at what Biden has done since then, they have systematically gone through and tried to address every one of those elements. You know, you look at grocery prices, you look at healthcare prices. There has been a strategy for every single one. The remaining area where Biden still cannot say, hey, I've gotten this under control, I've tamed this inflation, is in housing. And that's why we're continuing to see housing prices run hot every month. And that's why we're also continuing to see that it remains a kind of a top issue for voters. It's why people are talking about it. It's why we hear from lawmakers that it is the number one issue in their district. Because as great as it is that maybe food prices are lower, gas is lower, at the end of the day, rent or your mortgage is the single biggest expense you pay a month. And if that is too damn high, then that's going to color the way you view the economy.
Yeah. And on that, we're heading to this election. As you said, it's something that people do every single month. It's one of the one things that you are guaranteed in life to have to do every damn, you see, I'm getting pissed off. I hate rent. That you have to do every single month for your entire life as an adult, right? So how is it going to impact, you think, his reelection campaign?
Yeah. I mean, I'll add one more thing outside of just the sheer expense, right? Which is already a burden. Homeownership is a core element of the American dream.
And
the whole platform of Bidenomics is, you know, we're restoring the American dream after a tough several years, right? And to have this be the whole, to have this be the thing that people still cannot realize is a massive political problem. If you are a younger voter and you feel like housing is out of reach, that's going to affect the way that you view the economy and by extension, Biden's presidency. If you're an older voter and you feel like, you know what, I want to sell my home, but I can't because the mortgage rates on my next home are going to be way higher, that's frustrating to you too. And so it has become a problem that psychologically is weighing on voters, economically is weighing on voters, and it's something that is extremely difficult for Biden to solve in the next 7 months. So what he essentially has to do is, you know, go out there, say, look, I feel your pain. We're working on it, and really appeal to voters to give him that second term so that he can follow through on all of these promises that he's making now.
Yeah. This is not a storyline that's going anywhere. So Adam, I'm going to let you go. Maybe we'll invite you again next time. We'll see. We'll see. Thanks for coming. Fingers crossed. Fingers and toes. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Anytime.
And for your schedule today, the Senate is in, the House is out. And President Biden will travel to Saginaw, Michigan today, where he will be participating in a campaign event. It's the general election, y'all. It's going to be a lot of that. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.